Amen.
If you would rest on your feet with me as we honor God in the reading of His Word, I want to call your attention to two passages of Scripture that we will use as the backdrop, the framework for the Word that God has deposited in my spirit this morning, and given me liberty to share in your spirit. The first is from the first Gospel according to Matthew. What book did I say, everybody?
Matthew
chapter 28. That's the last chapter. And we're going to look at verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Then our collateral passage will come from John, the last of the Gospel. John chapter 20 and verse 21. But Matthew 28 and verse 18, I believe, is on the screen. Do you see it? Okay, not yet. All right, but you should have it. If you can't find Matthew, just go to Malachi and work your way up. That's the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, chapter number 28, beginning with verse number 18. When you have it, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read together. Then came what?
Jesus
and spake unto them, saying what?
All
power is given unto me in what? Heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and do what?
Teach
all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to do what? Observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And what will I do? I will be with you always, even unto the what? End of the world. The Great Commission. Somebody say amen. Now we're going to go to John chapter 20 and verse 21. John 20 and verse 21. John 20 and verse 21. When you have it, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read together. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As the what? Father has sent me, so send I you. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Let us pray. Yahweh, the hour is coming again, that your Son Yeshua, whom the Greeks call Jesus, must be lifted up. For Yeshua said, and if I be lifted up, I, Yeshua, will draw all men, all women, all boys and all girls. So lift Jesus up again today. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. And when this experience shall come to a pause, may Jesus be honored. May Jesus be obeyed. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to share with us from the topic, a divine mandate for discipleship. A divine mandate for discipleship. Our theme for the year is a life of transformation and devotion in 2021. That theme passage is from Romans chapter 12, where it begins with verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may do or present or give that which is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh. This thing for this year, beloved, behooves us, demands us, calls us to the life of discipleship. I believe before I left, I preached a message on the fact that we are the light of the world. We are reflectors of his light. Jesus said, he is the light. John 8 and 32. And then he says to us, we are the light. Matthew chapter 15. And our light should shine that all men should see it and give him glory. And last Wednesday, if you were with us on our Hour of Power Plus, we talked about the fact that we need some Andrews in the church. This disciple that is an unsung hero. Nobody talks a lot about him. Matter of fact, there are not sermons preached about Andrew, but it was because of Andrew's ministry. He didn't have a title. He didn't have a position. But it was because of him that Peter became the apologist, the student on the day of Pentecost, wagged his finger in the face of the Jews and said, you killed the Lord Jesus whom the prophets talked about. He came and you didn't accept him, but he is not dead. He is risen and sitting on the right hand of God the Father. The Bible says in that one night evangelistic meeting, 3,000 souls got saved. Oh, bless his name. But beloved, I want you to know today, and allow me to propose, Elder Landry, that one of the failures of the Christian church in the 21st century is its refusal to embrace the mandate for discipleship. It is a sad commentary on the Christian church in this 21st century to refuse to embrace the mandate for discipleship. Now, I need you to hear me and hear me clearly. I did not say that one of the failures of the Christian church in the 21st century is its refusal to grow the congregation. I wish somebody was listening to me. I said it is its refusal. It is its lack of passion for disciple making. Oh, beloved, we have two kinds of churches today in this 21st century. I call them the mega FUBU church, the MEGA. FUBU church. You know what FUBU is? F-U-B-U. For us? Okay, help me preach my little sermon, somebody. The mega FUBU church. And then we have the second church. It is the Meeker FUBU church. The M-E-A-G-E-R FUBU church. Now, Elder Jones, the mega FUBU church is this church that is crowded with people. They come from every walks of life. They are at the church when the doors are open. Every time there is a service, they got 10,000, 20,000. They come to the church, Elder Crochet, to satisfy their own selfish needs. They come to fulfill the need for social, for political, for relational, and for financial prosperity. They believe in this gospel that says, not go ye therefore, but come ye therefore, and ye shall have a good job and a promotion on your job. Ye shall have money. Ye shall have a big house. Ye shall be socially connected. Ye shall have everything that you need. Come ye therefore. They are the church that tout the theology of me, myself, and I. Not the theology of sacrifice, the theology of service, and the theology of building the kingdom of God. No, no, no. The mega FUBU church is a church that teaches and that posits the theology of if you come and turn around two times and high five three people and mean it and claim it, you will get it. And if you don't get it, Sister Jones, that's because you are not spiritual enough. Or that because you are not planting enough seeds. Or with somebody over here, man. That's because you are not giving enough to the church. You are not participating enough. So the mega FUBU church believes in earning their blessings because of what they do. They're not there to do it for the Lord. They are there to do it for themselves. They are the ones to whom Jesus will say, when they say, did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not heal the sick in your name? Did we not feed the hungry in your name? And Jesus says, I did not know you because you were for us and by us. To you were doing it because you wanted to make a name for yourself. The mega FUBU church. Then we have the meager FUBU church. It's the empty church. That church that has nobody but six or seven people in it who feel like they have nothing to share and no reason to share it because they only have sufficient for themselves. For them, the gospel is a self-serving gospel. They are holy by themselves. They don't want to mix with those other people. Those people that drink and smoke and cheat and lie and fornicate. So they're just sitting here by themselves. They don't know Jesus if he smacks them in the face. But they just act like they are holier than everybody else. And they're not intentional about sharing what they have because they feel like if they share it, there will not be enough left for them. And so they come to church just following a tradition. I wish somebody was listening to me. It's the meager FUBU church. They like their church like it is. We don't want to fill this church with disciples because if we do, we will not have the pastor's attention anymore. You know, the pastor will start paying attention to those new people. And so we're just going to keep our little small meager church the way it is. We are not going to preach. We are not going to witness. We're not going to testify. We're not going to teach. We're just going to be by bicep. The mega FUBU and the meeker FUBU church. They are the church that have changed the mandate of the gospel of discipleship from "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost," and then turn it to "Come ye therefore and make yourself feel holy and then other people. Come ye therefore and be satisfied with yourself by yourself." Oh, beloved, but I stopped by to tell you this morning that there's a word from the Lord. Well, I wish somebody was listening. There is a word from the Lord. And this word from the Lord, beloved, is a word that calls us to sacrifice, a word that calls us to selflessness, a word that calls us to go and make disciples for Jesus the Christ. Church of the Living God has lost its sense of discipleship, has lost its passion for discipleship, has turned away from the mandate that was given by the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus himself. And now we are doing our own thing, and we have one church here that is full and doing their own thing. It's all about them and what they can get and what they have. And there's another church here that is empty, and it's all about them and who they don't want to sit next to and why they don't want to share the gospel with anybody. And these two churches are bringing a shame to the purpose of the kingdom of God, when God is saying the world is dying and they need to know that there is a Savior. I thank God for the late Andre Crouch when he made us or reminded us of the fact that Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. And the question that I want to ask you this morning, beloved, is, since you declared that you were a follower of Yeshua, a follower of the way, a follower of Jesus the Christ, how many disciples have you made? How many people's lives have been changed since you started to follow Christ? Since your claim to becoming a Christian, how many people in your family, how many people in your community, how many people in your circle of influence have been transformed, renewed, and changed because of your declaration of being a follower of Jesus Christ? How many people have you affected, impacted in the last 2 months? In the last 6 months? Okay, I'm coming to your neighborhood. In the last 2 years, in the last 10 years, how many people have you impacted the kingdom of God? While you contemplate that question, I want to invite you to take a walk with me through the teachings of our text, found in Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 18 through 20. And there we will find four divine realities. How many, everybody? Four divine realities that will help impassion us and implore us back into this divine mandate for discipleship. The first is the authority of Christ. Somebody say the authority of Christ. The authority of Christ. We find that in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And there Jesus himself is speaking. The Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, oh bless his name, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That word power is the Greek word exousia, and it means authority. Jesus is saying to his disciples, he's saying to those of us who claim to be disciples, that all power, all authority has been given to him in heaven and in earth. And if we are going to be faithful disciples, if we are going to carry out the mandate of discipleship, we have to recognize and submit ourselves unto the authority of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the anointed one. Beloved, you and I need to know that the church of Jesus Christ is not a man-made institution. It's not an institution that is initiated by the mind of man and the desire of man. No, no, no. This church of the living God is an institution that came out of blood, sweat, and tears. It was birthed by the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. It is through his death, his burial, and his resurrection that the church of Jesus Christ is birthed. And he is the one that has all authority over the church of the living God. And if we are going to be his disciples, we must be willing to submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. Somebody say the authority. All, not some. All, not most. Yeshua was clear when he said, the land where all authority is given unto me, both in heaven and in the earth. This church, Minister Nate, is not out of the musings of mankind. It's not a man-made thing. It is a God birth. Oh, I thank John for reminding us in the third chapter in the 16th verse. For God, not us. For God, not we are. For God, not the conference president. For God, not the GC president. For God, not the union president. For God, not the elders of the church. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I like verse 17. It says, but God sent not his son, bless his name, into the world to condemn we God, to condemn people like me, but that the world through him must be saved. I'm too glad today that Jesus didn't come to destroy and to condemn you, but he came to die so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Somebody shout hallelujah. All authority is giving unto me in heaven and in earth. The second reality that we need to realize that will help us to get passionate about discipleship is the authorization. Somebody say the authorization. The authorization by Christ. He says in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18b and 19, go ye. Oh, I wish somebody with me. This is the authorization. He has the authority. And now he is, Sister Jones, transferring that authority onto us. So our power is given unto me.
So go, I'm authorizing you. This authority, this authorization to go, this mandate to go is not conjured up by human talent, by carnal shenanigans. You can't manufacture it. You can't come up with it. That's why, Elder Landry, I had a confessional. I thank God that we grow in him. There's a song that says, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. We are climbing Jacob's ladder, and every round goes higher and higher and higher. When I first started ministry, I used to do these little gimmicks to try to draw people. You know, you put up a flyer. You see, the first 10 people to come, we won't give them a television. Now, we won't give them this, and we won't give them a that. And the people are smarter than you. Some just say, yeah, we saw that poster. We saw that commercial. Preacher said the first 10 people to get there, they're going to get a television. They're going to get this. They're going to get that. And so I'm going to be the first to get there. He didn't say the one who stays throughout the service. He said the first to get there. So they come and we say, who is the great teacher? Oh, you got 60-inch television. Everybody clap. Then you give them your television, and by the time you turn around, the preacher will slip out. Because that's gimmick. See, you cannot use gimmick to grow the kingdom. You got to do what God is telling you to do, because he is the one who gives the authority. I wish somebody would hear me. So after they got me for at least 18 years of ministry, the Lord opened my eyes and said, we got, why you keep bringing them in and they keep slipping out the back door? Because you don't have no more Walmart cards to give them. You don't have any more TV. So as soon as you get on your nerves, you're gone. So I decided I'm going to do it Jesus way. I ain't giving nobody no Walmart card, no television, no nothing. I'm going to give you the greatest thing that you can ever get, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody shout hallelujah. Yeah, but the authority is from Yeshua. He authorized us. He said, go ye therefore. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of Yahweh. We are spokesmen of the kingdom of God. And how dare we trifle such a privilege, such an opportunity. We how dare we take it so loosely? The authorization is from Yahweh, from Yeshua himself. And then the third thing, somebody say the third thing, is the assignment. Somebody say the assignment. See, Jesus has the authority. And he transfers it as the Father has sent me, so said I you. But then I thank God that he is not ambiguous about the assignment. He is clear in the assignment that he gives us to carry out. He says, preach the gospel, baptize, and then hold people accountable for practicing or to teach or to practice what you taught them. It's in the text. I'm not making this up. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28, and let's begin with verse number 19. He said, and teach all nations, baptizing them what? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and then do what? Teaching them the description. It is a threefold assignment. It is assignment number one, to teach the faith, the doctrines of the faith. It is an assignment to baptize in the faith. And then it is an assignment to hold people accountable for observing the teachings of the faith. Oh, I can't get no amens now. It's getting a little tight. What is the doctrines of the faith that Jesus is calling us to teach? He's calling us to teach the doctrine of transformation, reformation, and devotion. Say it with me. Transformation, reformation, and devotion. Here's transformation. The doctrine of transformation of the faith teaches that I was born messed up from the floor. I was born jacked up. I was born with sin and in shame. I am flawed. I am fickle. I am frail. I wish I had another witness in here who can testify. I was born messed up. Oh, but thank God, I don't have to stay messed up. I can be born again. And this is something that Yeshua does through the power of his blood. And my belief in that power by grace through faith. I have to be transformed. We have to teach that drunk people can become deacons and deaconesses. We have to teach that prostitutes can become preachers and praise leaders. We have to teach that drug users can become disciples of Jesus Christ. We have to teach that whoremongers can live holy. We got to teach them that they can do it on their own. They do it by the transforming power of Jesus Christ. Is anybody listening to us? That is what we have to teach, beloved. Then we have to teach the doctrine that says I love sin. Oh, I'd be so real people with me. I love stuff that are not good for me. We have to teach Sister Johnson that my body is carnal and everything about me without the power of the Holy Ghost is carnal. But I don't have to stay there. I can be changed by the power of Jesus. It's called reformation. And the songwriter says, the way I used to walk, I don't walk like that anymore. The way I used to talk, I don't talk like that anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. And somebody's looking at me and says, we know what happened to you, man. We don't see you in the club anymore. We don't see you beating your wife anymore. We don't see you snorting cocaine anymore. I wish somebody would hear me. And I said, that's a great change since I've been born again. It's called reformation. We have to teach that. Then we have to teach the doctrine of devotion. That the things that I was passionate about, Yeshua's power and the Holy Ghost can change my heart and change my mind and give me new passions that are kingdom-centered. I can have a passion for preaching the gospel. I can have a passion for testifying. I can have a passion for witnessing. My question to you, beloved, is have you been transformed? Have you been reformed? And do you have a devotion to the things of God? That's what we have to teach. And then the second thing that he is clear about, Elder Landry and all of the ministry leaders in this church, that's why we have a goal for every ministry leader, is baptism. You see, what you don't realize is baptism is a sign of accountability. Teach me. I'm trying to do it. See, our God is a God of numbers. He's a God of accountability. You think I'm lying? You go to Matthew. You remember when he fed 5,000 people? How do you think they know it was 5,000? Because somebody counted it. Then they said he used 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How do you think they knew that? Because somebody counted it. And then they said that there were baskets left over. How do you think they knew that? Because somebody counted. Don't tell me about counting. Oh, they're all about numbers. Yes, because I'm a follower of Yeshua, and he's all about numbers. Baptism is about accountability. So you can preach all you want and teach all you want. If you don't baptize anybody, we got no proof of your teaching. Is anybody listening? Jesus said, go teach. He was clear. And then he said, that time, let's count how many souls got saved this year. And the way we know it is by counting the baptism. And then the third thing is, he said, make sure that they are accountable for what they've been taught. He said, teach them to observe. That means to put into practice. Don't tell me you're a Christian and you're still smoking 3 years after you got saved. You're destroying your body. Yeah, I know there's some scripture that says thou shalt not smoke, but there's a scripture that says thou shalt not kill. And the last time I checked, a sermon general who may not even be a Christian says that cigarette smoking is dangerous to your health. Now, how about that? Because, you know, we don't want to be a camel, Brother Pugh, so we come up with all these. Well, show it to me in the Bible. I can't show you word for word, but I can show you the principle. There's nothing in the Bible that says thou shalt not cheat on your taxes. But I can show you thou shalt not steal. See, we got to teach them to observe. And the reason why, oh, bless the Lord, help me, Lord. The reason why the church is empty is because we are giving gimmicks and we're not holding people accountable to observe what we have taught them. We're looking for a happy-go-lucky church. Come in, shout, clap your hands, have a good time, and go home and live the same filthy life you live. And we're wondering why nobody is following us to the church. Because if you say you were saved and you were living the same life I'm living, what difference does your salvation make? Why should I waste my time coming to church? Turn to your neighbor and say, observe. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Oh, and I like this last part, this fourth divine reality. Because somebody said, we are, that's too hard. This man has been on crack for 20 years. That's too hard. This woman has been living a loose life. This man has been running skirts on. That's too hard. This brother has been a drunk forever. This woman, this boy, that's too hard. And I said, no, that's not too hard. Because the fourth reality is the assurance of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, of sorrows. We find that Matthew 28 and verse 20b, he says, Lord, oh, bless his name, I am with you always, even till the end of the world. I am giving you a guarantee. I am giving you an assurance. I am giving you a confirmation that what I'm telling you, that I have given you the authorization to do, you are able to do it. The mission is possible. Souls can be saved. Disciples can be made. People can live right. Lives can be changed. Why? Because you're not doing it by your own strength. Lord, I'm with you always. Is anybody in here that believe that Jesus is with you? Shout, he's with me. Lord, I'm with you always. Not just sometimes, but always. Not just most times, but always. I am with you always. Even to the end of the age, so beloved. If we are going to execute the mandate for discipleship, we must first recognize and submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. We must secondly accept the authorization that as the Father has sent him, so he is sending us. And the discipleship is a selfless sacrifice. It is a painful thing. It is blood. Tears. He says, if any man will come after me, he will first deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. The cross is not anything romantic. The cross is heavy. The cross is painful. The cross is all torturing. But sometimes we got to bear the cross. That's why the songwriter asks, must Jesus bear the cross, O Lord? And all the world will free. No, his answer is, there is a cross for everyone. If there's a cross for me, we must accept the authorization that we've been called to be disciples of Jesus. And then we must carry out our assignment effectively and efficiently. And we are going to do that, beloved, and do it well, because we lean on the assurance that, Lord, he is with us. Yes, he is with us. Hallelujah, he is with us. He walks with me, yeah, talks with me along life's narrow way. You ask me how I know he lived. He lived within my heart. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Love him. There's no other. Jesus is the way. He has called us to a divine mandate for discipleship, and we can make it happen. Mission is possible. You know why? Because living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried me. Saved far away. Rising, he justified me. Free me forever. One day, he's coming back. Glorious day. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forevermore of his saving grace. On the streets of glory. baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. I would open the doors of the church and call somebody to a selfless life of discipleship. The day you want to say, Yeshua, I heard you.
Therefore, and teach.
I want to come out of this
nation.
I know it's COVID.
Go.
Put your mask on.
Go.
God will protect us.
Go.
Just step out. Just step out. Just step out.
Go.
Stay a little distance. Just step out.
Therefore,
maybe just stay.
Teach.
Where you are.
All nations.
Say, God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you.